Isn't it sad that he's gone full robot right during that impassioned speech?
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language.
Yeah, I'm back.
Are we going to kick off?
Just like that, recording. Man, I haven't even looked at my notes yet. I've got so many notes, guys. I've got a lot of stories. You know, I've been recording in Feedly. Anyone use Feedly?
Yep, love it.
No one uses any RSS readers at all.
I love it.
I did the patron thing, and now I've got pro for until they switch the thing off. That's brilliant.
Nice.
It's like $100 for pro forever. So I've got a discourse feature idea tag. How can I get it to tell me how many stories I've got in the... I can't get it to quickly tell me how many stories I've got. I must have thousands of stories in here that we need to cover. Literally thousands.
I've only got half a glass of Coke left, though.
I never stopped tagging things during that whole 2.5 years we were off the air. I never stopped tagging things. Every single week I was tagging things.
Are we recording? Are we starting, or are we...
Oh, yeah. It's all going.
We started a minute ago, Ben.
Okay, cool. Well, listen, now that we've started, I listened to the last episode that you guys did, mm-hmm. and listen, people don't tune in for banter and, you know, parenting advice and pee farts.
Yeah.
They tune in for hard news,
Ben,
and educated opinion, and you've got to get your shit together.
This is good. I have an important question for you, though. When you pee, do you also fart?
All right, can I plead the fifth?
No.
No, I do. I fart when I pee. I think I was... I remember being scandalized, though, first hearing my father fart when he peed when I was a young child.
I know, this is more information than we asked for.
Yeah.
I was just pulling on you.
Robot
Morgan.
Yeah.
You're full robot. Why don't you just disconnect and then see what happens when you come back? If it fixes you, just close the window.
Am I okay? Am I a robot?
Yeah, you're fine.
That's weird.
Yeah, he's gone. And parenting advice. I don't know. It was actually, most of that was targeted at you. I don't even know if you realized. I was specifically talking to you.
But does this mean that I haven't got, I wasn't part of the previous, the recording stopped.
No, still going.
Oh, I haven't got the red dot anymore. So am I still robot voice?
No,
you're good.
It let me finalize the previous track as well, so that's good.
Oh, okay, now it says you've stopped though.
Do we need to stop and start again just to get fit?
It's complicated. All right.
To hard news and educated opinion.
Maybe you have to wait till we finished. Hard news and educated opinion?
Yes.
Beyond pee farting.
Exactly. First question. Does anyone give a shit about Doctor Who? Has anyone actually watched Doctor Who?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
A lot of Doctor Who fanboys I've heard, though, point to... was it Stu Moffat? Was that the writer showrunner? Having stepped away in that season or something.
Stephen Moffat, is it?
Stephen Moffat. I've seen people... That's been cited as a reason that season wasn't very good or something. Right, should point out I've not seen a single episode of Doctor Who.
I haven't watched since I was a child.
Neither. Not a single one. I don't think I've seen an episode of Doctor Who since I was like a six-year-old or something.
But so as little as I know about Doctor Who, the outrage is like the same level or whatever as it always is when there's a new Doctor. But it is a bit disappointing how it's focused around the fact that she's a woman as opposed to she will be terrible.
Stop. Because all I've seen about the commentary of the new Doctor being a woman is people saying, oh my God, I can't believe everyone's freaking out that she's a woman. I haven't seen really much evidence at all of people freaking out that she's a woman.
I've seen.
But even when I've gone looking, even when I've gone to like r/Doctor Who and things like that and Reddit, and like even then, the vast majority of people are not seeming to express such an opinion.
Wait,
Are
you telling me that social justice Twitter manufactures outrage?
No, I think it just magnifies it.
Quite enjoying it. Yeah, exactly. How much of a smackdown Wonder Woman is giving in terms of box office hits and all that sort of stuff. It's great.
I finally saw it, though. I've seen an actual movie. I went to the movies and saw an actual movie.
Amazing.
And it was wonderful. It's the first time I've seen a superhero movie at the movies for ages.
Yep. Oh, it's so great. How did we get on to... I was going to ask Dylan Morgan a question about Doctor Who as well.
Well, he's gone now. He vanished.
We'll wait for him to come back.
He was attacked by Daleks.
I was going to say, literally the little segment you see on Twitter of the reveal of the new Doctor Who, I should know her name, it's terrible of me, is that all you see on the TV show, or did she actually get a whole episode to do some stuff?
I don't know anything about Doctor Who, but I feel like, isn't there like a whole episode of transition normally?
Yeah, I just don't know how it works. Like, did you just see her turn around in the forest, or do you get to see her in a full episode?
He's gone.
Yep.
Oh, so much better.
Are we going to have to restart again?
Man, technology's a pain, eh?
It is. Browser's terrible, but it must be his connection or something, because, you know, living in a city.
Yeah, you can't get good internet out there. My six megabit ADSL, that's where it's at.
If I run out of memory, this is telling me I only have 105 megabytes free, or is that the amount of space available in Chrome for storing the audio file before it uploads it?
Probably that.
Possibly.
I can't access the settings thing to change my audio output configuration on that bloody thing.
I'm just eating some cake.
What sort of cake?
Banana chocolate cake.
Sounds good.
Are we back on or what?
Or
we need to finish the space thing.
I'm still in Chrome because the Firefox thing was, I mean, it was trash. It was Firefox. It was Firefox. Come on, guys.
Can't expect totally.
To use Firefox. Isn't that a third world technology or something? Isn't it from like, it's from Europe. It's from Europe, man. Who would
I think so.
Who would use it? So
where were we?
You were going to ask.
I was being eloquent about something. I can't remember what.
Oh, it was about Wonder Woman. I was asking, jumping over the wall and girls having a superhero.
Yeah.
And I was asking a question that with the whole Doctor Who thing, do you just get the reveal or do you get a full episode of Jodie Whittaker to kind of assess?
Well, every other time you have the story where the previous Doctor gets fatally, mortally wounded, and then light starts shooting out of his shirt, collars and cuffs.
Right.
And he falls on the ground or falls to his knees, and then you see the face of the new person.
Right. So that's probably what happened.
Yeah. So I actually never watched the thing. That's how disinterested I've become thanks to the last season or two of Doctor Who. So I don't even know what you saw.
You didn't see that, like, you know, all over the internet.
I saw a still shot of her in a black coat. That's all I saw.
Yeah, you see her a
in the bush,
a coated person walking away, and then you see her turning and revealing. Yeah, cool. Yeah. Doctor Who. So we've covered pop culture.
I want to know what she's gonna wear though, because that's kind of been like sort of the defining suit of
obviously a scarf.
Yeah, John. Is it Pertwee? Or am I thinking of Wurzel Gummidge?
Yep. Some of them had like cricket blazers and stripy pants, and some of them had long scarves, and other ones had slightly different scarves. And the modern era ones have had bow ties or very natty, very nicely tailored suits. And some of them have had cons and suits, and you know.
I've heard that there's a much bigger deal though in terms of reveals than the Doctor Who reveal that's just happened. Do you know about this?
What's that?
No.
New emoji from Apple. The most significant being a discourse emoji.
There's one called discourse. Is it a sandwich?
Yes, it's a sandwich.
Is it larger than normal?
There is a sandwich emoji.
Or is it much smaller?
Coming up. I think it's larger than normal.
Yeah.
I like to think it is.
Yeah.
Hope so.
If you search, because apparently there hasn't been a sandwich emoji.
Right.
That's disappointing.
Yeah. But Apple has showed off new emoji, including the sandwich emoji, the exploding brain emoji, which is much more traumatic than I expected.
Yeah.
Why? No, actually, don't worry about it.
What?
It doesn't matter why.
Why new emoji?
Well, no, why? Well, no, not why new emoji. I've watched Tom Scott videos to explain that. No, why an exploding brain emoji? But it doesn't matter. It just, I don't care.
Oh, there's a breastfeeding mother. That's going to make some people crazy.
Is there a penis yet? Because I'm tired of using the eggplant for what is clearly a necessary emoji.
They do need a cock and balls emoji, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That mushroom-headed exploding brain thing is very apposite given the state in North Korea.
Right.
The problem here is that I'm going to get shitty versions of all these emoji because I use Android.
Android's really upped its emoji game recently.
It's ruined its emoji game. It's gone from good to crap. Have you seen the proposed next generation ones? They're all just useless blobs.
At least they're not little aliens anymore.
Absolute trash. This hairy coconut in Apple's sample images is, you know, it looks like a coconut, and the Android one, for no good reason, is going to face a different direction, so there's no consistency in your storytelling if there's any directionality with like knives or guns or people's open gawping mouths or whatever.
It won't
look hairy. You'll probably be able to tell that it's meant to be a coconut. It'll probably be like a green, unhusked, unopened coconut, just because.
Right.
Because they want to just express some different element. Maybe it'll probably have like a straw coming out of it.
Right, yeah.
Fucking damn.
I might understand there's also dinosaurs.
There is a T-Rex. Yeah. Like a little T-Rex emoji.
Well, that's cute. We need dinosaurs.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I mean, that's important news. I'm very excited to hear that.
Have we gone over 5 minutes yet?
Oh, you checked to see you're going to go robot again at 5 minutes.
Oh, no. This is a 5-minute podcast, and that's our guarantee to you. We never go over 5 minutes, I promise.
There must be more news we can fit into 5 minutes.
What we do is, at the end of the podcast, what we do is we just speed everything up as much as necessary to make it take 5 minutes.
It's like those things with, what's that shitty Smash Mouth song, and every time he says whatever, it gets faster? Yeah, it's like that.
there's a few of those.
I love those. It's so funny.
So good.
Yeah, like in the Star Wars one, where every time there's a laser blast, it increases in speed. That one's fantastic. Like, the whole movie is over in about 90 seconds.
I saw one that was Nickelback, but every time he says photograph, it just keeps playing Nickelback. It's just the song. That was what it was described as, but you went to it, it was just the music video for Photograph by Nickelback.
All right, I've got a question for you chaps.
Yes.
So you know how Corbyn has kind of captured the youth imagination in the UK?
I've heard that, yeah.
Okay.
Who is New Zealand's Corbyn in this election round? But not Corbyn, but who's capture the popular imagination and garner more of the vote than you would predict?
It's
no
always...
one. Hopefully someone from the Greens. Maybe the Greens in general, but currently no one.
Someone from the Blacks.
The Blacks.
Because, I mean, the spin-off today, a really great, everything they do, a really great article researching New Zealand First, sort of going along to their conference and being, quite a good article, quite impartial, sort of generally going and seeing what they're talking about. And what I read from that was kind of scary, in that the people who he was, Winston Peters is attracting to the New Zealand First conference are the people who see him as the Corbyn, as the kind of anti-establishment, look after the common person, but
isn't
also
he more the Farage?
Well, that's what I thought, but they see him as like a social, a socialist kind of support the people who aren't being looked after kind of person, which I'm really surprised by, because isn't that the Greens?
Well, I mean, it's all a bit puzzling at the moment, because it depends on what you consider to be looking after the people, really, doesn't it? Like, if you think that the danger to the people is all the immigrants coming here and stealing our jobs and buying our houses, then yeah, I think Winston's probably your man.
But I didn't. That was, if you read the article, it's quite surprising, because there was, a split, but also a tendency towards or away, away from racism and towards kind of, I guess, basic kind of socialist or, social, what do you call it? Jeez, I can't even talk.
Maybe I'm not paying enough attention to Winston then. Is that what you're saying?
I'm concerned, yeah. Is it that the echo chamber that we read is picking up on all Winston's racism, which is, there is plenty of it, and ignoring everything else, which is what is attracting other people to him?
Yeah. Well, something's got to explain the high percentage that he usually gets. He's popular with 10% of people, right?
I guess he's just straight up populist, right? Which is, he'll say the things that people want to hear.
But he always says the same things. Like, it's been a consistent story. It's not like it varies over time.
No.
Yeah, that's true. It is always the same things. His referendum proposals are nothing new.
So what are they all? So one of them is...
he's got two. One is he wants to abolish... He wants to be binding referendums. He wants to abolish the Maori seats, and he wants to reduce the number of MPs, I think, to 99 or something. It's 99.
We don't have too many MPs. It's bloody stupid.
Both of which are stupid.
Oh, yeah. And the thing about the Maori seats is that Maori have to decide if they want to have them or get rid of them.
Well, they get to decide that by whether or not they choose to be on the Maori roll.
That's right.
You can't
a certain number, they just don't get seats anymore.
You can't possibly have a nationwide referendum, right, on that. No. You'd have to have a referendum. Oh. If you do have one, you have to have a referendum of the Maori roll.
Yeah.
Surely.
Yes. Yeah. But that's clearly not what he's proposing. He's going the one law for all angle,
It's bullshit.
That thing.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. We have representative democracy for a reason, because you can sway people to vote for the wrong thing. You need level heads, calm consideration, and not just who was the most compelling speaker. And if it's just who is the most compelling speaker, I know.
You're going to Godwin the conversation, aren't you?
I am. You get that. Right there. Did I avoid it? You get that. The obvious thing that I was leading up to, but I don't want to say it,
Yeah.
You're going to...
Don't be the most compelling. Be like the most factual. I don't know. The best researched. The most... Yeah, that. And
was Trump
not what you
the
get.
Most compelling speaker?
Terrible. Yeah. No, he was terrible, but he
connected. Compelling compelling to the people that were compelled by him. That's a tautology, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You're right. He connected with the people that were seeking that.
Oh, God.
So you're saying that people need to be intelligent, like the Greens need to get more close to national.
No, he's saying that we need. He's saying that we require a decent representative government so that we have smart people making choices instead of just a dumb mass.
Yeah, I don't really believe in binding referenda.
No,
because, that's a terrible idea.
Because I can't remember every referendum we've all voted on, but some of them were just so bad and overwhelmingly agreed with. Which, for instance, the one which was like, should we be harder on crime and should prisoners have to do hard labor or something? And I can't remember what the first part was, but I sort of maybe could have agreed with the first part, but then the second part was like, and should they be breaking rocks with picks? And I was like, no, of course they shouldn't. Certainly not all of them. What are you talking about? This is insanity. And like 95% of people or something voted for it. And it's like, okay, so after seeing that result, we must never have binding referenda in New Zealand.
And some of them are just downright immoral, like the idea of Australia talking about a binding referendum on gay marriage or gay rights. It's like, no, you shouldn't even ask people to vote about that because it's
rights. It's rights.
Yeah.
Human
rights.
They
had another word. It wasn't referendum. It was plebiscite.
I think it's the same thing, though.
Yeah. It is kind of the same thing. It's got some sort of practical difference that I don't remember. But
Australia's got a weird mixed up halfway house between a house of a standard, what do you call it? Yeah. Standard house and the weird Senate American thing. I don't get it.
It is.
Should there just be a reform of our justice system, placing greater emphasis on the needs of victims, providing restitution and compensation for them, and imposing minimum sentences and hard labour for all serious violent offences?
See, so that's at least four questions.
That was terrible.
That was the question we voted on.
See, so I think there should be more focus on the needs of victims. And and the rest of them I vote no on, like out of the four things. So I'm 25% in favour of that. So I have to cross it, not tick it or whatever, right?
91.8% voted yes on that.
Yeah, so totally fucked. Amazing. Hard labour.
Amazing.
Hard labour. Like, it doesn't say for the work. Like, because, I mean, I think I'm on record for saying that I think that there are certain kinds of criminals in New Zealand who we should drop them in a macerator. Right? And it's not even a pick. It's just literally chop them into tiny pieces and then spray that out into the sea for.
All right, I'm going to have a drink now.
If I just reload it, does that work?
Yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah,
it's terrible.
Something's weird going on.
Listeners, I'm really sorry. I'm not going to be able to make this perfect in the edit. There's going to be some bad bits, you know. I'm sorry. We will.
I think you should keep the Wonder Woman rant in robot mode because it was kind of a special thing.
It's worth struggling to listen to.
can we talk about blue greens for a bit?
Yes.
Because I have this analogy, right, which is basically. Is a schoolyard bully who like beats up this nerd every single lunchtime, just yells at him, punches him, beats him up, and then says, look, what you need to be doing, nerd, is joining me and helping me out with my homework. Why won't you do that? And this is basically...
Well, I mean, but who's promoting the Blue Greens anyway? Is it even a realistic idea of a national green coalition?
It is a real thing, and my history with it on Discourse specifically actually goes back several years, because during one of our election shows, I was over with our audience, and I was talking... We were talking about like where people were voting, and someone was voting national, I guess. And I talked about how, you know, their environmental record was pretty bad, and if you vote, maybe they even said they were kind of blue greens or whatever. And I said, well, if you're green, you can't vote blue. And I was called out on that by one of the other guests. And
no, I understand that absolutely there are people who.
Let me finish my fucking story.
You know, who have that?
Because I make myself look like a massive pussy. And she said, how is National not a green party? How is National bad for the environment in New Zealand? Oh. And I just stopped because she was a very good friend of a very good friend of mine. And so I just didn't bother continuing with it. And then I almost immediately saw comments on the stream that said, oh, Morgan didn't even have an answer. And I was like, motherfucker, you think I didn't have a fucking answer for someone saying that National weren't bad for the environment in New Zealand? Have you never listened to this fucking show? I was taking it easy on someone because I care about what my friend thinks. You know, I was a massive pussy.
I think it's like you said, Dylan. Is blue green even a thing? It's a thing. The way I see it is, it's a thing for people who, like, I mean, there are some people on Twitter who put it very uncharitably, which is basically, you know, assholes who don't want to call themselves an asshole. But you know, similarly, it's people who have the sensibility or the political alignment of National,
but I completely understand.
Really bad about it, right?
You have environmental ideals, but you have, you know, a more, I don't know, a less socialist streak than perhaps the Greens or Labour might.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
But I think it's more than that. I think it's that they genuinely understand the peril of the situation we're in. And so
Totally. And I get that guilt. There are voters who think this and people who, and I get that there are even, you know, segments of the National Party base who consider themselves blue Greens. But what I'm saying is it even remotely realistic to consider that after the election a blue-green coalition might be a thing? And I don't think it is.
Only if National get their head out of their ass and move towards the Green. Right. So this is the thing that pisses me off most about it, is the fact that there's this implication that the Greens are doing themselves an injustice by not saying they're going to work with National, by ruling out National in their current state, without even questioning the fact that it's National that actually need to get their shit together.
Well, you don't. The bigger party isn't the one that they consider. I mean, obviously, they theoretically need the support of a smaller party to govern, but you know, they're not the one you expect to make a major position change. So I don't think, like, as much as it's interesting to discuss the relative merits of whether or not a blue-green vote is even logical, I think it's irrelevant, because I don't think there is any chance of a blue-green government. I think maybe you could get into a situation where the Green Party, you know, entered some sort of, not even confidence of supply agreement, but some sort of, you know, we aren't necessarily the opposition agreement.
I don't think that, you know, it sounds like their line is too hard for that, and I kind of agree.
Of course it is. Fundamentally, they're massively, like, I think the compromises that the National Party would have to make the Green Party satisfied are way beyond what is remotely possible.
Yeah, but so, I guess that's the thing. To me, it's National who are kind of the extremist party in this, you know, in this situation. It's,
well, not really, Labour is though. Like
the furthest from kind of, I guess, fact when it comes to environmental policy.
I mean, I don't even think the National Party isn't massively fact denying like some other political parties overseas. Have very different priorities.
They're much more dangerous. They pay lip service to very serious issues in a way that makes their supporters believe that they are doing something.
They play that line that basically, oh no, we can't possibly kind of push the boat on environmental policies because we will ruin the economy,
and
without
not,
even considering that you don't have an economy if you don't have an environment.
If your entire
their position isn't unreasonable and isn't unsupported. Like, you know, you can argue that it's irrelevant short term, or that it's, you know, it's short term thinking, and that may well be true. But I mean, they have a position, and they're not at all alone in thinking that.
Oh, but they're wrong, and all the people who think the same way are also wrong.
Well, I mean,
wrong.
You and I agree that we all agree with that, but that, you know, that's we no, also no, the probably the agree.
It's not that it's most not just, of the things. It's not just that we agree with it. It's that the, you know, the facts continually over the last 10, 20 years have borne out over and over again, and often worse than any predictions.
Yeah,
it's
but
like
until
each
you
time,
can,
it's like, oh no, we'll be fine. We can, you know, we can not set those targets and we'll be okay. But, you know, then each time we remeasure what's going on in the environment, it's worse than predicted.
But until you can convince National voters of that and the National, you know, policy setting committee of that, then it's irrelevant.
So I think that reinforces the fact that it's that this idea that the Greens have to somehow make a compromise to...
No one has to make a compromise. It's like you couldn't expect
that's what the kind of crux of what's been going on Twitter is that, oh my god, the Greens are...
But what's been going on Twitter is irrelevant. Like, some people believe that this should be a thing, but it's not a thing.
It could be a thing.
I don't think it could be
a
thing.
In Germany, they've had rainbow coalitions. There's no...
I'm sure they have, but can you imagine the Greens dropping all their positions on, you know, issues like welfare and, you know, who knows what else, to work with the National Party in exchange for, I don't know.
Tell
what.
Me,
no,
Dylan.
But I can imagine the National going, well, actually, we realise there's a nuclear free moment here, and getting their shit together and saying New Zealand's going to be carbon neutral, and potentially the Greens supporting them on that.
But is there a nuclear free moment? Is the New Zealand, you know, popular opinion remotely the same as where we were at that point? Like, can we be talking about, why don't we talk about a Labour National coalition?
Because Labour are even weaker on, you know, you're probably right. It's probably closer, more likely to happen than a National Green.
Like, they're probably closer in ideology in many respects.
On environmental policy, absolutely.
That would be more of an existential
environmental
for one of those parties, though.
Yeah,
because those National and Labour live in opposition to one another. They exist in opposition to one another.
But and so don't do the Greens to some extent. They're not really.
That's the role that they've had to take, and part of the Green movement is. You know, it's pretty compelling that it's necessary for some social justice elements to be part of the, you know, the Green movement's platform. But what does National believe in? No,
but
no,
it's,
Dylan,
but
Dylan,
is the Green?
No, this isn't a trick. What does National believe in? Like what is the defining characteristic of the National Party of the last three terms? It's nothing. There really is nothing.
Popularity in the free market, ostensibly, but not really even those.
Yeah, no, there's nothing. They don't believe anything except whatever they need to do to cling to power.
I don't think you can convince them of that.
Has there been a government, a New Zealand government, in recent times, well, even in not recent times, with as much political capital as John Key built up? Yeah.
You've got a robot. The other problem is when Morgan leaves, I'm not sure his recording gets uploaded.
Surely it must.
I don't know. I can't see it yet.
Can you check? Can you check in Dropbox? What?
When he comes back, hang on, I'm gonna stop. The best bit about this is that Morgan's going to have to stitch all these things together somehow.
I'm stoked about that.
National believes in unlimited political capital that never gets spent.
Right. But, even though there are real things that need to be done. You know, we've got children, whole families sleeping in cars. Right, and there's one family is too many, you know. And
but so what's the solution to that? Like in broad. If you ask the Greens, what's the solution to that?
Build houses.
The lowest, like, the National also presided over, like, the lowest cost of government capital period, a period of the lowest cost of government capital for, you know, decades, and chose not to take up any of that too.
Like, I mean, my thing is, you look at a problem like that, and you imagine that if the Greens and National entered some sort of coalition, how do they approach it?
Yeah.
And I don't think
it's not going to happen. But no,
I don't think there is an ideological position they could both agree on. So then what? The problem just goes unresolved again.
Except that National do say that they need to build housing. They do.
Yeah,
say
but they
that
say they need to build affordable housing, and then what's his doodle there? What's that?
And it's $650,000, right?
And it has to be done by the private sector, because the private sector is, you know, knows best, according to National.
We don't have a national house building department at the moment.
The market needs something to compete with, and I think that needs to be. The government directly building a whole lot of housing, whole bloody lot of it, so much that the rest of the market needs to up their bloody game, because it's really expensive to build in New Zealand. Everything's expensive here.
I don't disagree, but I can't even imagine the National Party doing that.
Why not?
Well, maybe, but I mean, public expenditure on massive projects like that is not really their
guess.
Ideological idea.
Rob, I'll do the thing big.
You've gone robot again. This is fucked.
Fuck me.
What is going on?
Fuck this fucking tool, man.
What are we switching to?
I think it's your computer. I think your computer's shit.
Skype?
Then we've got to figure out how to record it.
I have Skype recorded.
You know what? I don't know. How do we do this?
For the remainder of the program, the role of Morgan will be played by a malfunctioning robot.
Recording. Snap, snap, snap.
Oh, wait. You got to do the Imperial March. That's how we know we're all recording at the same time.
Okay, cool.
All right, whatever. Excellent. We can count to 10 together.
And then the flute back.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Well, see, it only works if 2.
Oh, yeah, okay, can we do that? 1.
2. 2.
If we all count,
how should we synchronize this? Is there like an application
that it's got to? We're only recording our microphones, so only stuff that goes into our microphone gets recorded anyway.
Yep.
So if we count it to 10 at the same time,
anyway,
then,
cool.
Whatever.
What were we talking about before we got so rudely cut off?
Housing. How implausible it is that National would move enough for there to be a blue-green coalition. And it's not really plausible. It's not going to happen. But I can see
the Greens and National entering some sort of agreement whereby the Greens took a neutral position and were willing to work with National on a case-by-case basis in exchange for...
I guess...
And Nick Smith as Minister of Conservation.
Yeah. I guess my summary is that... Oh, yeah, Special Economic Zone Smith. I guess the thing that I'm kind of most got my back up about that whole blue-greens thing is not whether there's going to be anything happening at all. It's just the that I think just the people espousing it, I'm positive, know what's up, and they know that the right thing to do is to vote Green to get us out of this, you know, or vaguely flatline this absolute shithole we've got the environment into. Yep. But they're just not willing to do it, and instead they're kind of finger pointing and trying to find someone else to throw under the bus.
I think it's pointless
rather than just having some guts.
I think it's pointless trying to think out anyone else's political positions. I mean, because, you know, fundamentally we think anyone who doesn't think basically what we think is wrong, and there's really no point, like, identifying people who are wronger than other people for one reason or another. Like, if people believe that somehow a greener version of National is the way to fix the country, then that's what they believe. I don't think they're plucking it out of their asses. I mean, I'm sure some people have some sort of cognitive dissonance about it, but...
Well, no, I mean, I think, you know, if that's what they believe, and I think you're right, then they're better off lobbying National, especially the people who are, you know, like, who are, you know, kind of got high up connections in National.
And I'm sure some people are.
Better off lobbying them as opposed to saying, oh, the Greens need to move closer to National, because it's just not what needs to happen.
I don't know. I think we've devoted a lot of time to arguing about, well, not arguing, I don't know, to discussing... a position that is fundamentally only theoretical and a very minority position to start with.
But listen, Dylan, the echo chamber that listens to discourse will love it. So,
and you know the reason we're doing it, right, Dylan? It's because we know that Labour are absolutely fucked and the election's going to be a bloodbath.
Did you watch their ad?
Yep.
No.
I tried. I zoned. I literally zoned out halfway through.
And it was only about 30 seconds.
Yeah. I was like, oh, what fuck? I watched it twice because I realised I hadn't... got to the end and realised I hadn't seen the last half of it.
Is Little in a canoe?
I think maybe.
I thought that was... Was that just like a random guess?
I don't know. There's a point...
Is he in a pedal?
I think there's some dogs at some point.
Is he in a dodge?
At some point he embarrasses his teenage son.
I know. It's Little on a roller coaster.
That one definitely happened.
Such a roller coaster that, you know, the roller coaster...
It's not a roller coaster. It's a luge. It's only downhill, Ben.
It's going just a little bit too fast, and he's pretty sure he's going to come off the tracks any second.
And whichever way, he's being overtaken by Jacinda, regardless of what vehicle.
He's done such a good job, though, of including her, of like pulling her close.
Such a good job of being like a bland blank slate.
But
of just
like if he excluded her, then there'd be this kind of idea that maybe she should take over. But he's recruiting her right in, pulling her close. Right. She's in all the campaign ads and things. Although, except at the end, all the ads end with, or the ad that I saw ended with, Andrew Little and and Labour. Like, he's personalising it, like John Key did last election. I don't think it works.
Because he is.
I don't think he's John Key.
I've heard that if, and I don't think this is going to happen, but if Labour hit 23%, Little won't be in.
What? Not on the list?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, he's number one on the list, surely.
Well, because they'll have too many electorate MPs to get anyone off the list.
Oh, wow. That would be amazing.
Yeah, that would be terrible. And under those, imagine this situation. Labour, 22 or 23%, low enough that Little doesn't get in. Let's say the Greens on 15. Let's say New Zealand First on 15. So there is... where do we put... I don't know where we put New Zealand First in the left-right continuum.
They deliberately spread themselves either side, I think, because Winston wants to be a kingmaker.
So let's say that Winston doesn't go with National under these circumstances, but you've got 30% between Green and New Zealand First, and you've got 23%, say, from, and there's obviously a little bit of slop here from Labour, then you're over the 50%, you know, to in theory form a government. Little isn't in. Who becomes Prime Minister? Because Labour wouldn't have a leader, right? They wouldn't have a leader.
I don't know.
So guess who it would be?
Winston.
Yep. Can't wait. Who would it be?
It'd be so good.
Sir Winston Peters. I mean, he'd instantly knight himself for sure. I mean, I would fucking call for his knighthood under those circumstances.
Can't happen straight away, though, because we only do it at New Year's, so he'd have to wait a couple of months, a few months.
I'm sure there'd be an exception.
I don't think so.
He won't be double Sir John Key, though. He's doubled up. It's great.
But the reality, of course, is that it's going to be National Māori Party Do you think United Future are going to be in?
You mean Peter Dunne?
I don't know.
Peter Dunne.
I've got no idea how he's
popular. Who's he facing in his electorate?
The former Police Association president, what was his name? The
Greg spokesman? O'Connor. No.
Greg O'Connor, yeah, I think
was
so.
Was it Greg O'Connor?
Something like that.
Will Materia today be in, or will she still be fighting her benefit fraud?
That was seamless, Ben. Fantastic.
It's what I'm here for.
She needs to be in because she'll need the money to pay the $57,000 invoice that the New Zealand Taxpayers Union wants.
The taxpayers onion. Aren't they great? They're the best.
I don't understand if they are deliberately misunderstanding the situation. I assume they are, but
no. Like I think that they. Like what? I just picture Jordan. Is it Jordan
it
Williams?
It is Jordan Williams.
Like as soon as he heard the news that Materia had you know like defaulted on a benefit, this red mist descended, and he's just blanked out everything else that happened until he could get that invoice out.
But that was I mean it was more than 24 hours later that he got that so called invoice out.
He spent the whole 24 hours in his basement with poring over statutes with a calculator, working out exactly how much the invoice should be.
It's just
what was the thing that she copped to having done?
So she said that she was receiving, I'm not sure what the exact benefit was, but she was also receiving an accommodation supplement with her benefit. And she did not report to Wins that she had two flatmates at the time, which may have changed her allowance under the accommodation supplement, whether or not she would receive it or maybe it made it lower. But then arguably it may not have. But at
was
most,
that, the whole thing?
That was the whole thing. It's the accommodation supplement for 3 years, maybe. So at most, at least the information I've seen, was that she possibly was receiving up to $50 a week that she wasn't entitled to.
So I saw, I didn't know that was the entire thing that she had maybe done. Didn't and one of the many lawyers that infest Twitter, actual lawyers, not you know fake lawyers like I occasionally espouse myself to be, say
do we
say
know
that,
they're real lawyers?
That, well, I mean, I think, we can, I think we do know that they're real lawyers. Right, and so one of them said that you were allowed to have up to two boarders?
Yeah, and the question is whether, like from what I could see, it was a question of whether or not flatmates counted as boarders. But the borders thing isn't very well defined. But I mean, ultimately,
I think like you know, I think the Greens have probably played this. Well, you know, I don't want to give them too much credit, but they've probably thought it through pretty seriously. That you know, like, should we do this? And so they've thought through what the total potential exposure is. You know, whether it was in fact illegal. So they know that it's borderline enough to admit to happily, but also scandalous enough to be kind of Trumpian in its.
Well, it also demonstrates a very important point.
Kind of stickiness.
You know, it was perfect for demonstrating the point they were trying to make. But I don't think they have thought it through that much, but only in as much as they haven't in the, two or three days since, they haven't come out with, like, specifics. They haven't put numbers out there. They haven't said, well, look, the amount we're talking about here is a, you know, $50. But, I mean, the other thing is there's every chance that, you know, depending on who Wins' case manager was and any number of things, that if she had given the information to Wins, it might not have changed the outcome at all. But the point was that she felt she had to conceal that information because it was a risk to her family.
It also appeals, it also appeals to the, you know, the everyday New Zealander. I mean, who hasn't committed a bit of casual fraud in their lives?
Me, Ben, I haven't. What the hell?
I don't think I have, although I was briefly on some kind of benefit between not quite finishing my business computing thing at Tech and starting at iHug. I was on some kind of benefit. It was like $120 a week. Let me tell you how much fucking tax I paid since then, my man. I mean...
Well, that's the other thing. Is like, you know, we're talking about a person now, so like, what would be the preferable outcome? That she had to drop out of university, couldn't become a successful commercial lawyer, couldn't become an MP? Like, you know, I don't know.
No, it's
the point of the system is to give people, like, if she hadn't had that benefit, she wouldn't have been able to study, right?
No.
Yeah.
No, Morgan. The point of the system is to punish people,
right.
Punish the poor.
No, because literally no one says that.
The poor deserve to be punished.
I mean, that might be what some people believe, but no one says that. Everyone says the point of it is to lift people up and help them out of poverty. And she's an example of someone who was very successful.
Okay, so we all agree.
I don't know.
Bloody successful for a little bit of fraud, bloody successful.
They should have
a lot of fraud, very bad. A lot of fraud, really, really, really bad.
Well, but... Also, if she gets successful enough...
A gentle touch of fraud.
If she gets successful enough, then she can start to hide her income and not pay tax on it.
Yeah.
So that'd be good.
Yeah.
I'm not going to bag people with family trust because I have a family trust, so, you know.
I have a family trust, not that I have anything. I don't benefit from it anyway.
It wasn't...
I should probably talk to my accountant.
I don't...
Wasn't it strange for you, Dylan?
I probably should.
When you... we probably aren't even meant to talk about having family trusts. But was it strange for you that there is no registry?
Yeah, I don't know. I literally know nothing about it. I have nothing to do with it.
Oh, did your parents create it?
I'm a beneficiary.
Oh, right. You don't have a family trust then.
No, there is a family trust.
You don't understand how bloody weird family trusts are. So, like, when you've
no,
but you have to file paperwork and stuff, don't you?
With who?
I don't know.
At your lawyer's office, there is a trust document that defines the trust.
So there's no companies registry type situation.
There's no companies registry, and there should be something like the companies registry.
Right.
Companies office. Yeah. Well, there's nothing like that, and it's so weird.
Fonsec, what was it? You know.
That's not family. That's a whole different trust thing. That's putting your money overseas.
But they had a registration. Didn't they have a registry of trusts for that?
No, there's nothing. I think that the upshot of that was that for some purposes the trust had to have like a tax number or something,
probably,
and that's the extent of its existence. But like, yeah, anyway, they're very strange things, trust.
Maybe that's why it's called
yeah, I should definitely talk to my accountant.
Yeah, we take it on trust that they're not screwing us.
But anyway, I mean, that's the point of it is that, you know, you tell a few white lies at that point to get $50 a week extra maybe, but at the other end of things you do literally everything you can to minimize the amount of tax you pay.
Yep.
And one is fraud and the other is, what's the word? Avoidance? Or
evasion.
Tax avoidance or tax evasion?
There's tax minimization. It's all the same thing, really, though, isn't
it? Tax evasion is illegal.
Well, some of them are more legal than others.
I don't think you should. I think normal people just shouldn't worry about it at all. Like, if you've got enough income, don't worry about it.
No.
If you can pay your bills, don't worry about it. But
I distinctly remember when I first set up a company, when I was doing some contracting, talking to my dad's accountant about, you know, how should I structure it to set everything up. And he said, dude, well, he didn't say dude because he was an accountant. He said,
Mr. Gracewood,
your objective is to pay as much. Yeah, Mr. Gracewood, your objective is to pay as much tax as possible, because when you're paying lots of tax, you're earning lots of money. So, you know, you should be pleased to be paying lots of tax. I thought,
terrible accountant. Dump him. My accountant says, what can we claim?
Look, that's fine. It's fine to claim a certain square footage.
Did I tell you about my research trip to the US last year?
Do you have your square footage of office space in your house that you use for...
Yeah, well, it's very small now. I need to do something about that. I should probably expand my office.
I don't think any... Look, obviously we've all gone quiet because this is really uncomfortable to talk about, right? Like, you don't want to pay extra. You don't want to as a normal person, you don't want to foolishly pay more tax than you need to, right? And if you have a company and you're trying to start something, of course you claim a square meterage. You do those normal entitlements. But once you start creating exotic structures and doing, what's it called, like the double Irish invoicing or whatever, the Apple and all those real dirty scumbags do, where they move double Dutch or something, yep. It's absolutely grotesque if you're doing that shit.
I need an overseas parent.
The maneuver that you do, like, has like what sounds like a, like, you remember in Ocean's 11 when they talk about the different names of cons or whatever. Like, if the thing that you're doing sounds like a con from Ocean's 11, you have to cut that shit out because it's dirty.
I have another measure. If the thing you're doing sounds like a discourse Urban Dictionary word of the week.
Word of the week.
The double Irish. Yeah. Don't look that up. For God's sake, don't look it up. But I mean, it's funny because one thing is horribly frowned upon. It's apparently fraud most foul, and the other thing is just doing everything you can to be your best person. And, you know, fundamentally, they have the same motivations, and one is likely worth a lot more money than the other.
What is it about that? That, like, it has your average Kiwi battler basically saying benefit, you know, scabs versus, you know, looking up to great businesses who are scabbing a lot more off the taxpayer than each of them.
Because everyone sees the struggle they have day to day and how hard they do it and how they don't get any help, or at least they think they don't get any help.
Right, so they can
kind of, like, look, I'm struggling and
associate closer with...
Yeah, I'm struggling and I don't, you know, something, something. And then they also, you have this... Well, there's this idea that I've seen espoused for the US, for some aspects of the US political system, which is the idea of the American dream, right? That you will work hard and one day you will be rich.
You're a millionaire in waiting.
Yeah, and so that's why you vote in favor of tax cuts for the rich, is because, you know, soon, any day now, that will benefit you, even if it doesn't now. And I see that as kind of the same thing, I think. People probably here have this, you know, you are in this sort of struggling situation now. You imagine yourself being in a better position later, and therefore... you want to make sure that things are best for you later. You know, it's understandable. I can relate to it personally, but at the same time, I'm also like, you know, well, there may be some number of people out there who are happy enough to just get by on the dole, or will have another child for $60 a week. I think most people struggle and are constantly frustrated and wish they could get more and make a better life for themselves. And hopefully a lot of them do, and therefore, like, fucking do all you can and we'll help you all we can. And for the small number that, you know, are shit heels or whatever, then, you know, it's a small price to pay. Those people will be
everyone gets a huge amount of help. Everyone who thinks that they're self-made got a huge amount of help,
of course. And even
our entire society is actually about helping each other. All of the tax system is about helping each other. Our health system is, we've got this double-tiered health system where some people have, you know, private health insurance, but we all are covered by essentially public health insurance, and those work hand in hand. The private health insurance system in New Zealand would be as broken as the American one is without the public system. We have the public education system, we have bloody publicly funded roads, we have beaches that you can access for free, we've got no shortage of regulations that some people bristle at, but that actually make our lives enormously, immeasurably better. There is no such thing as a self-made person. You didn't invent the language, you didn't invent, you know, the base technology that it all operates under. You didn't invent, like, there's always people that worked in your factories, there's always people that engineers and draftspeople. It's no such, no, there's no person who has done everything to get themselves where they are.
Yes, but you have to stop and take a step back and be willing to take a pretty broad look at things to have that perspective. And a lot of people don't. A lot of people just go day to day and, you know, and look at and consider themselves the, you know, the people who've worked hard for where they are, and look at people who they don't think are working. Not that they necessarily even have any real, they don't have any real first-hand experience. They just believe what, you know, some snippets here and there on the media tell them.
The bloody Ayn Randian, Atlas Shrugged objectivists.
Yes, Ayn Rand, who died on welfare.
They will pull themselves up by their bootstraps. Hey, Ben, yes. You want to do the Investopedia.com?
Word of the week.
Investopedia.com word of the week. Yeah, sure. Hit me.
What is the double Irish with a Dutch sandwich?
I know this one. It's when you take your cock. Wait, sorry, where was this word from?
Investopedia.com.
No, I'm going to step back.
Yeah.
I don't know enough about it. Something about holding companies in Ireland and then invoicing and
yeah,
invoicing
you need, companies. You, it involves three companies. You send your profits through an Irish company to a Dutch company, and then from the Dutch company back to a second Irish company, which is headquartered in a tax haven. Double Irish with a Dutch sandwich. That's what Apple does, guys.
That's why they've got, what is it, $250 billion? Score it away in the tax haven.
That should be paying for bloody schools.
Yep.
See, and we're fine. But like,
get your new iPhone, feel great about yourself for 1 minute.
Has the taxpayers union had anything to say about Apple?
Nothing. I have no idea. I don't follow them at all. They may have.
They're not completely one-sided, just mostly.
That's also the problem with his name, David Seymour. Like, there's a lot of stuff that I agree with him on, but then every now and then he lets the pig out.
Best one. They did a great one today, which, what was it? The 90% of New Zealanders, you know.
Oh, the Twitter
feel
Twitter
the same way as them. Yeah, 90% of New Zealanders feel the same way as ACT. No, David, by definition, 0.7% of New Zealanders feel the same way as ACT.
I googled taxpayers union and Apple and haven't come up with anything on the main page, on the first two pages, so I'm not sure they've said anything about Apple.
Is there any benefit fraudster in New Zealand that has denied our country of as much money as Apple every single year? Shit no.
Oh, shit no.
There was that one guy who put all his money under the floorboards. Do you remember that? I think he got it like up to a couple of hundred grand of kind of extra benefits. Do you remember that? I gotta find the article now.
I can't find anything about the taxpayers union talking about Apple. Nothing.
Yeah, and of course it's not just Apple that does this. There's a lot of companies that do this. I mean, Google probably does this.
Yeah,
Facebook
Google
probably
definitely does
this. That Apple are just the biggest one, right? This profit shifting thing is bullshit. If you make the money here, you should pay at least some bloody tax on it. Like, you know, obviously the stuff isn't being manufactured here. It's not being designed here, but it's being sold here.
And they'll argue they pay millions of dollars in GST, which...
Here we go. $3.4 million this guy had buried in his garden.
That's quite a lot of money.
Yeah. He was a determined recidivist fraudster. 123 false identities.
When?
$3.4 million.
How long had he been burying it?
Between March 2003 and 2009.
He got $3.4 million in that time.
When the police raided his flat in Massey, they found $700,000 in $50 notes buried in the garden,
yep.
$184,000 in cash in the flat in his car, and gold bars worth $355,000.
Oh, gold bars, that seems... Because I was worried, because, you know, depending on when you started that, like, you could get caught out by a currency shift. Like, you know, when we stopped using the old paper notes and they became unusable currency after a while? Like, how pissed off would you be if you'd buried $1 million in cash and, like, old notes?
Yeah, because...
You're spending a lot of time at Sky City.
Because, look, it would take, you know, like, how many... You know, it would only take a few hundred of these guys doing this level of fraud to kind of match up to Apple.
Yep.
A few hundred, a few thousand.
We should definitely get someone looking into that.
These incredibly rare guys.
Off you go, Ben.
I love the quotes in that
investigate
article. It was a full-time occupation of serious dishonesty.
It's funny, isn't it? Because he was obviously so hard-working that he could have done something good.
Yeah.
He, like, made YouTube videos.
Sure. Or, you know, or whatever.
Like, you know, all you need to do is buy a bit of Play-Doh and some toy trains, and you can make millions.
You could have, like, built a tickling empire.
There's not a lot of money to be made in tickling. It's quite costly.
Right.
Just my understanding.
Man, that's a lot of work. Managing 123 false identities.
Yeah. It's very creative. It is a lot of work.
And apparently some people reckon he should have been engaging in hard labour. I'm not sure that how they would pay the money back. But
he should at least run for the leadership of the Green Party.
No, because they need one male and one female.
Too soon, Ben.
Co-leader, yeah, one male fraudster and one female fraudster. Is that how it works? Am I?
It's not. Ben, come on, Ben.
What do we think? Let's make some calls. Let's call what we think is going to happen in the election.
Oh God, I don't want to. It's too depressing.
So wrong. We were wrong on election night. We got so excited.
Always wrong.
Okay, I'm going to eat a lot of cupcakes.
I'll give you one guarantee. Greens will they'll turn out 2 or 3% lower than they poll.
Right.
Always.
So does that mean about 11%?
Yeah.
Oh no, what are they polling at right now? There hasn't been that much public polling this time, has there?
It seems like a low-key election, doesn't it? Doesn't it?
Maybe the storm is yet to come.
Someone said the other day we're seven weeks out from the election, and I was like, no fucking way. But
that's not right.
Isn't it? I think it is.
Because it doesn't feel... Jeez.
Yep.
It's September, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's already mid-July. Holy crap. I think it's going to be low-key because we don't have the same... impetus as what happened in the
but
UK.
Then will the UK stuff and will the Trumpism in the US, will that turn out more people who are the opposite of that to kind of in fear of something like that happening here?
Nah, because stabilizing.
Well, you know, there's a lot of... It's easy to be a liberal outside of the US who's like, I can't believe you fucking did that. But when we get our own election, are we going to go, ooh, better make sure we just have our say here just so we can stop just ranting on Twitter and also actually... you know, have some maybe impact.
But no, I think, what was it, 60-something percent of the country believe that we're on the right track?
Well, I mean, no, I wouldn't say we're on the wrong track. I just think we could be on a better track.
We're on the wrong track.
Okay, cool. Well, there you go.
Who's to say? Me. Yeah, me. Yeah.
You and a lot of scientists.
All right,
let me tell you one thing that in theory we, and by we I mean I, and by I mean me and everyone else in the Ipsum electorate who leans left, can do for...
Yes, vote national.
Yeah, vote bloody national. Vote Goldsmith. I assume it's going to be Goldsmith again.
Do you get Goldsmith again? Yeah.
I'm assuming so. I don't know who the candidates are. I mean, we know who one of them is going to be.
If we don't see the back end of ACT this election, I will be gutted.
I think that they're going to be back, but it is possible if the Green and Labour voters, there are actually enough of us in the Ipsum electorate, the numbers work to get rid of ACT by voting national with our electorate vote. And absolutely, our electorate vote in this electorate is wasted anyway. So this doesn't cost us anything.
Yeah, you said this last time. No one listens.
So David Seymour took the party. It took the... where was he? He got 16,000, we'll call it. Goldsmith got 11,000.
And the Labour got like 4,000.
Julianne Genta, I'm not sure. For the Green Party got 3,000 and Labour got 3,500. So between the National and Green and Labour MPs, they got about 2,000 more than David Seymour did.
And I bet you there are a hell of a lot of people who voted party vote Labour and party vote Green who voted for Goldsmith because we know that's what we need to do. But there are some people who can't bring themselves to do it.
I'm not sure that... Well...
I think it's true because, look, people...
Yeah, a little bit. Not a lot, though.
National people do get the message. Well, what was the national party vote in Epsom?
National party vote was 24,000. So between the 11,000 and... So, you know, there was 2,000 people voted for a candidate that wasn't their party candidate, basically. Only 1,000 people gave their party vote to ACT in Epsom.
Yeah, it's hilarious, right?
That's
how unpopular, even in Epsom, that's how unpopular they are.
Yep.
I think that'll probably be up because David Seymour has made himself pretty visible. He actually has.
Yep.
Maybe I should try taking an issue to him.
Good luck.
And see what happens. I bet he sends me letters all the time that I pay for him to send. Thank you, Parliamentary Services or whatever. Thank you, Leaders Fund, or I don't even know what it is. Thank you, I don't know. I pay for it anyway. He sends me letters and he talks a lot of bullshit. It's bald. It's just absolute electioneering that we pay for. Ugh. And Goldsmith actually, I think, has sent one or two, maybe one. And not too close to the election, of course, because you wouldn't accidentally want to get too many votes, would you?
Oh, I just realised I could have gone.
Goldsmith's position is...
You know, I've got to start trying to figure out how to get data from the elections people again. God, this is terrible.
You know what this means? Oh. This means you have actually committed to making an election show.
I thought we already had, haven't we? Aren't we? I don't know.
I think I want to. Can we do it without
it's graphics?
Be really bad.
Can we just put a website on the screen?
Where are we going to do it?
No. Hey, where are we going to do it? Oh, this is a lot of thinking. Jesus. Where are we going to do it? How are we going to do it?
Do we have to decide that already?
Surely not.
I mean, look, if it came down to it, we can just do it here. I've got fast internet now. Or on Ben's deck.
My big dick.
Yeah, big dick. We could have a barbecue.
Yep, right.
We could have we could read the smoke rings in your brisket, and that maybe will give us some insight into what the election result's going to be.
Yeah. Right. Anything? Any last requests?
So we need to talk about the. So we declared ourselves a parenting podcast and asked for questions. So far we've got zero questions, so we haven't got any to answer. Please send your parenting questions to DiscourseNZ on Twitter, and we'd really like to get that going. Obviously we've got a lot of insight to offer. The only
parenting advice I have is if your child has a fever and sore legs, go to the hospital, not the doctor.
Oh, is that what's the thing about the sore legs?
Oh, this was just the most thing that happened most parenty to us back a few years
ago. Oh yeah, I remember this.
Yeah, it was not fun.
Right, so it's the combination. And what type of fever was it?
Mild, like not crazy virus 40 degrees fever. It was like 38, 39.
Right, so at 38, I wouldn't take my kid even to a doctor.
Yeah, no, it's interesting, eh? But it's the limping in the 38, right. which was the. But I mean, it's very high. It's very rare. One every 5,000 kids.
Yeah. Right. So fever plus sore legs equals emergency room. Don't delay. Yeah. Go immediately. So the ultimate results in our very scientific poll from last time: when you pee, do you fart or not fart? 52% fart. 48% don't fart. 65 votes. I think that's probably representative of something.
Now I think where we went wrong.
I think you didn't establish the scientific method. How many of those people have?
Well, I think Ben, maybe you've missed the more important aspect was the front side. Because I think we didn't stipulate that we were really asking just guys.
As a science podcast, I'm pretty appalled by how we haven't really controlled for all the factors in this survey.
Yeah, it's feeling a little Wakefieldian.
What's going on?
So should we ask the survey? Should we do the survey again? With like four options. I am male and I fart when I pee. I am male and I don't fart when I pee. I'm female and I fart when I pee. I'm female and I don't fart when I pee. And I realize that's a binary gender thing, but I think for the purposes of...
I was going to say...
I am...
Identify as...
Okay. Yeah. We can't ask two questions at once. We need to correlate. So I think like it's going to get too complicated if we start going on by...
Fish and chips. Fish and chips.
Sorry, this show is cancelled. Beep.